God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you're familiar with our gospel story of Peter walking on water, and I asked you what that story means, I imagine you might give me a version of the following. Peter had the right idea when he got out of the boat, quite literally stepping out in faith. Peter, like all of us, is invited to step out into the storms of life, where Jesus calls us to take courage, leave the safety of the boat, and come to him. If we have enough faith in Jesus and keep our focus firmly on him, we will not sink despite the wind and the waves. When Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on water. When he got anxious and distracted and took his eyes off Jesus, his faith faltered. And Peter, whose name means rock, went down like a stone. The moral, therefore, is that Jesus wants us to be bold in our faith. Jesus wants us to take risks, get out of the boat, and walk on water like he did. And if we can just be faithful enough, we will succeed. End of sermon, and good luck with that. Just kidding. That's not the sermon I'm preaching today, but it's also not a bad message. It's a fair interpretation of Scripture. It's the one we usually hear. And it's true that we can do great things when we keep our vision set on Christ. So we step out in faith and we follow him. Another approach to our gospel text is to say that Peter should not have gotten out of that boat at all. He tested Jesus when he said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If it is you, if." There are only a few other places in the Gospel of Matthew where someone addresses Jesus with "if," and they're not pretty. Satan does it 3 times to Jesus when he tempts him in the desert. "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread, jump off the temple, bow down and worship me." When Jesus is on trial after being arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he comes before the high priest, who says, "If you are the Messiah, the Son of God, tell us," as in, just admit it, "so that we can charge you with blasphemy against God and treason against Rome." And then when Jesus is hanging on the cross, some of the people mock him, calling out, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." And here, Peter joins his voice too. "If it is you, Jesus, command me to come to you on the water." Asking Jesus to do something to verify his identity is generally not a good thing, but in this instance, Jesus complies. He lets things play out and ultimately has to rescue Peter from drowning. So then when Jesus says to Peter, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" he's essentially saying, "Oh, Peter, eager and impetuous Peter, why did you get out of the boat?" Now the lesson of the story becomes, stay in the boat with your fellow disciples. Don't leave them while they try to manage the storm, and don't put Jesus to the test. Rather, trust in him to save. This too is a fair interpretation of Scripture. One thing I like about it is the idea of staying in the boat with your Christian community. We are all in this boat together. A boat, or a ship even, is a symbol of the church, and it has been from the early days. That's the reason why this space where you're all sitting, it's called the nave of the church, as in navy. Now look up at our beautiful high vaulted ceiling and that woodwork right above your head. That is meant to represent or resemble an upside-down hull, or the bottom of a ship. I think it's pretty cool. It's a nice nautical reminder that we are in this together. As a church, we are seaworthy, yet subject to storms and wind and waves, and therefore, we are always in need of Christ, who walks on the water to get to us and is always, always reaching out to save, even when we get confused or fearful and full of doubt. And this leads me to focus more on Jesus than on Peter. Yes, the glamorous part of our gospel story is Peter walking on water. But if we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus, let's look at him a little more closely in this gospel story. Now, Matthew makes a point to connect Jesus to God the Father in at least three important ways. First, he states, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. And the words walking on the sea also appear in the book of Job, when God is questioning Job about the cosmos. Specifically, God asks Job if he ever went upon the springs of the sea or walked in the recesses of the deep. Earlier in that book, Job affirms that God has traversed the oceans before the dawn of humanity, saying that at creation, God stretched out the heavens and trampled on the waves of the sea. So here we have Jesus walking on water because that is what our Creator God did at the beginning of the world. So Jesus too has authority over the created order. Here's the second point. As Jesus comes in view of the disciples, they get scared. They think they've seen a ghost. And Jesus responds to their fear with these words. Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Well, the common English translation of it is I obscures what the Greek really says, which is I am. I am. That's the same thing that God says to Moses at the burning bush. God refers to God's self as I am. So when Moses goes to the Israelites, he says, I am, has sent me. And now in this story, we see that Jesus too is the great I am. And then when Jesus rescues Peter, we get a third insight into his identity. Jesus and Peter get into the boat, and the rest of the disciples say to Jesus, truly, you are the Son of God. Do you recognize those words at all? For this proclamation reemerges when Jesus dies. Matthew tells us that at the moment of Jesus' death, a Roman centurion looks up to the cross and declares, truly, this was the Son of God. So Jesus' sonship is all about salvation, both in saving Peter and in saving us from our sin through his death. Now, these are all very interesting points about the text. Maybe this will encourage you to join us in Bible study when that starts up again in September. We love to talk about these things. Interesting connections that Matthew makes between Jesus and the God of Israel. But they are more than Bible trivia. They show us who Jesus is. They show us who we are in relation to him. And that's the thing about stories. Sometimes a story can tell us what to do, but when we hear who God is and who we are, we're more likely to know what to do and how to be and feel encouraged to be that person. God's story found in the Bible does this more than any other story can. Yes, this particular story of Jesus walking on water can be reduced to a moral about having more faith. But like so much of the Bible, it can also be a way to see who we are in God. The larger truth is that Jesus walks toward us whether we have an abundance of faith or whether we are lacking in it. If we say, Lord, save me, Jesus will reach out and catch us. The hand of God will find us. The story of Jesus walking on water and Peter walking on water is meant to reveal Jesus as the God who saves. And importantly, that revelation is only possible in the midst of chaos. That's what's annoying about it, but it's also a fact of life. We experience Christ as our Savior the most when we're in a storm. And thank God he just doesn't yell instructions at us from the shore or tell us a story meant to make us feel bad and do better. Instead, he comes out and meets us in our pain, fear, depression, and discouragement. As our reading from Romans says, the word of God is near you, on your lips and in your hearts. So for us today, I say, the word of God, who was made flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus Christ, is near you. He walks toward you, saying, it is I, the great I am. Do not be afraid. He reaches down when you call his name, for as Romans also says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We attest to God's saving grace in our lives. We witness that saving grace in the lives of one another. So that when we sit together here in this boat, we worship Jesus, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Amen.